Welcome, everyone. Ready to dive into a pretty amazing life.
I am.
We're talking Bessie Coleman today, a pioneering aviator, someone who just soared to new heights despite facing some really huge challenges back in the early 20th century.
You know what gets me about Bessie Coleman? It's not just like her winning. Her story is like a testament to the human spirit, you know, overcoming adversity and challenging those societal norms. It's a story that really sticks with you.
It's amazing. And you know what's really wild? There's actually no official birth certificate for Bessie.
Oh, wow.
Makes you think, how many other stories like hers are kind of missing from history? You know, especially folks from marginalized communities.
Yeah, no, that is a great point. I mean, not even having that basic document, it says so much about the inequality back then. Makes you want to dig deeper, right? Beyond just what's officially recorded, to find those hidden stories, you know, to really understand history.
For sure, for sure. So let's get into Bessie's early life. She was born in 1892, Waxahachie, Texas, one of 13 children. Her family were sharecroppers.
Wow, 13 kids.
Can you imagine? Growing up in poverty, the Jim Crow South, working cotton fields, walking miles to a segregated school.
That's tough. Those early experiences, they must have really shaped her, you know, her strength, her determination. But she excelled in school. She loved reading, even went to college for a bit, even with the money struggles. That says a lot about her, I think.
It really does. So how does someone like that from rural Texas even dream of flying?
Well, she was living in Chicago, and those World War I pilot stories, they just captivated her. That sparked something, you know, a longing for that freedom, that adventure of flight. But reality hit hard. No flight school in the U.S. would take a black woman.
I can't even imagine that disappointment. And aviation was so new back then.
Exactly. Even white women had a tough time breaking in. So you can imagine the barriers Bessie faced, being black in a society, you know, full of racial and gender discrimination.
So what did she do?
She didn't give up. She went to Robert S. Abbott, publisher of the Chicago Defender, a big black newspaper.
Smart move.
Abbott saw her potential, encouraged her to train in France. More opportunities there, he said.
What a turning point. That took guts.
Oh, totally. Bessie was all in. 1920, off she goes to France. Learning French, immersing herself in a new culture, all for that dream.
And there, she finally got her chance. Training at the Cogburn Brothers School of Aviation, flying in Newport 82.
The Newport 82, yeah. A World War I plane, known for being really maneuverable.
Wow. Learning tailspins, loops, all in that aircraft. Early aviation, that must have been scary.
Oh, yeah. Back then, flying was pushing limits, you know, figuring out the balance between control and danger. Bessie even saw a fellow student die during training.
Awful.
It really highlights the risks they took. But for Bessie, overcoming hardship was nothing new. This just made her more determined.
What a spirit. And while she's in France, back in the U.S., the Tulsa race riot happens. That must have been a blow.
A horrific event. The racism in America on full display. It had to be a wake-up call for Bessie, reminding her what she was up against.
It really puts her accomplishments in perspective.
Definitely. And despite it all, she kept going, focused on that pilot's license. And then, June 15th, 1921, it happens, Bessie earns her international pilot's license from the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale, nonetheless.
That's amazing. The first African-American woman, first Native American to do it. What a moment in history.
And get this, she was the first American, any race, any gender, to get their license directly from the FAI. That's huge.
Wow, breaking barriers on every level. So what did she do next?
Bessie comes back to the U.S. a star. Everyone's captivated by her, her story, her talent.
Queen Bess, Brave Bessie, those nicknames. She was a symbol, you know, courage, determination.
Oh, absolutely. And she jumps right into barnstorming, doing those daring stunts at air shows all over.
Barnstorming was so big in the 20s. What was it about those shows? What drew people in?
Those pilots, they were like daredevils, you know, pushing the limits. People craved that thrill, the spectacle. Barnstorming delivered.
I bet it was something to see those early planes in action. What did Bessie fly?
She flew a bunch, but one was the Curtiss JN4 Jenny biplane, popular for barnstorming, slow, stable, perfect for acrobatics.
I could just picture it, her up there doing those stunts. But she wasn't just about the show, right? Bessie used her platform to fight for change.
Absolutely. Racial equality, that was her thing. Refused to perform at segregated events, always demanding equal access for black audiences. She knew her power, used it to challenge racism head on.
Like that time in Florida, she threatened to pull out of a show unless they let black and white people enter through the same gate. That's standing up for what you believe in.
No messing around with Bessie. Actions speak louder than words, right? She put it all on the line for justice.
She's an example for all of us. Success is great, but it's about using it to lift others up, make the world better. Her journey wasn't always easy, though, was it?
Oh, no. Finances were always a struggle for barnstormers, you know, income wasn't steady. But Bessie, she had that extra layer, the racism. Imagine, world-famous pilot, can't even buy a plane in her own country.
Awesome. It's hard to believe that kind of discrimination still existed.
but she kept pushing forward, even went back to Europe for more advanced training.
Wow, she didn't let anything stop her.
Nope. She learned from the best, Anthony Fokker, the famous aircraft designer, and one of his top pilots.
Fokker, that's a big name in aviation. Learning from him, that's dedication.
It shows you how she was always striving to be better. But then, 1923, preparing for a show, she has a bad accident.
Oh no, what happened?
Broken bones, facial injuries, could have ended her career right there. But Bessie, she was tough. From her hospital bed, she sends a telegram, "Tell them all I'm coming back."
What a woman. That's resilience in action.
No giving up for Bessie. And she did come back, kept on amazing those crowds, inspiring everyone. But tragically, her journey ended too soon.
What happened?
April 30, 1926, Jacksonville, Florida, a test flight, a loose wrench jammed the plane's instruments, pilot lost control.
That's so sad. Those early planes, not as safe as they are now.
Absolutely. And Bessie wasn't wearing a seatbelt. She was scouting landing spots for her parachute jumps, had just added those to her act.
Dedicated to the very end is a heartbreaking loss. The whole nation mourned her, thousands at her funeral in Chicago.
Her life was so short at 34, but her legacy, that's still soaring. She paved the way for so many Black aviators, women in aviation, proved that with enough of determination, you can do anything.
Her story is so powerful. Her story is so powerful, and it didn't end there, did it? Her legacy, it's still growing.
Oh, absolutely. Bessie's impact, it goes way beyond just her time in the cockpit. She sparked a movement, you know, inspiring future generations to take to the skies, to challenge those old ways of thinking.
You said she was a symbol of hope, of possibility. How did that play out after she was on?
Well, after her tragic death, Bessie Coleman Aero Clubs, they started popping up all over the country.
What were those?
Dedicated to promoting aviation in the Black community, training, mentorship, you know, bringing people together.
So even after facing all that discrimination, she ended up inspiring a whole new generation of Black aviators.
Exactly. These clubs, they organized air shows, offered flight lessons, fought for more inclusion in the industry. They kept her dream alive, you know, made sure her legacy kept soaring.
Amazing how one person can have that kind of impact. And those early air shows, were they important?
Oh, yeah. Labor Day 1931, they held the first all-Black air show.
Wow, that must have been something else.
It was huge. Over 15,000 people came to see it, showed how much interest there was in aviation in the Black community, a direct result of pioneers like Bessie.
That's powerful. It's like she made that happen, even though she wasn't there.
Her influence is everywhere. You look at all these aviation heroes, John Robinson, Cornelius Coffey, Willa Brown, Janet Harmon Bragg, Robert H. Lawrence Jr., even Mae Jennison. They were all inspired by Bessie. And it goes beyond flying, too. Her story, it motivates people from all walks of life to push those limits, to reach for their dreams.
She really made a difference. How do we remember her today?
Streets, schools named after her, even a U.S. postage stamp, documentaries, museum exhibits, tons of books and articles.
Important to keep her story alive for everyone to know.
Definitely. The Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum in Oregon, they have a great exhibit about her. The National Women History Museum, lots of info online. Those are just a couple of places where you can learn more.
Well, what an incredible life. We've learned so much about Bessie Coleman's journey. Any final thoughts for our listeners, something they can take away from all this?
Bessie Coleman's story, it's a reminder, you know, of the power of courage, of determination, of believing in yourself. Even when things seem impossible, you can achieve your dreams as long as you have that passion, that drive.
What an inspiring message. Thank you for sharing this incredible story with us. We hope everyone listening will keep exploring Bessie Coleman's life and find their own inspiration in her amazing spirit. And thanks to all of you for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.